It's 5.1 Dolby Wi-Fi. It's pretty tight. It's got those seat rumblers in it and everything. Well,
no, but I'm waiting for Wi-Fi THX. I think that's going to be a little bit better.
This is like having surround meatballs because you just bought a foot-long sub. Shut up.
Surround meatballs.
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I kind of want surround meatballs right now.
I do actually want
It's lunchtime and I want surround meatballs. Welcome, boys and girls, to episode 75 of the best podcast on this website. This is, of course, Bad Voltage. My name is Brian Lunduke, and I'm joined by three of my unnamed friends. Unnamed friend number one, what topics will we be talking about today?
So, I'm Stuart Langridge, and one of the things we're going to talk about in this episode of Bad Voltage is smart light bulbs. In addition to a frankly unreasonable amount of Buffalo Bills abuse, Jeremy is going to review the idea of smart light bulbs, and we're going to talk about whether we think they're worth it.
Go Bills.
Before we go any further, Jeremy, I would just like to apologize for the Buffalo Bills abuse. Stuart's right. It was absolutely uncalled for. The Buffalo Bills are a truly phenomenal American football team that consistently win the Super Bowl. What is the next topic?
Do you know how I know you don't watch football?
That statement. And I am Jono Bacon, and we're also going to be talking about the recent decision by Apple to remove the headphone jack from the iPhone 7. I'm sure some of you can predict what we think about this. We're actually going to delve a little bit deeper into the Google Pixel, connectors in general, and Brian's unparalleled hatred towards Apple.
This is true.
And I am going to remain unnamed, but... And now... Bad Voltage.
Thanks, Jeremy Garcia. I'm pretty sure that anybody who listens to Bad Voltage has not escaped the news that Apple have released the iPhone 7. And among various improvements to the iPhone design and features, they've decided to remove the headphone jack. Now, the headphone jack has been around on phones, on devices for over 100 years, I believe. It's been around for a long time.
It's not that old, but it's probably...
I think it was invented in like 1880 or something like that.
Let's see, the quarter inch was 19...
Yeah,
Thirty something. Yeah, the big fat quarter inch.
And the little ones.
And I think the mini jack, I can't remember when that came out.
Well, for starters, you know it's modern because it's called a 3.5 mil jack. No one was measuring anything in millimeters in the 1960s.
That's a really, it's a really good point.
Good point, Ginger Columbo. Now, subsequently, I mean, obviously, this announcement was made and the world erupted in pretty much indignation about this decision. There's also been some recent rumors that Apple are evaluating removing it from their MacBook line of computers as well.
The assholes.
And their argument here is that this is a dated technology and it's time to go wireless. Blah, 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 blah.
Specifically, didn't they use the word bravery or courage?
Oh, courage.
Is the word they used. Courage.
They have
courage.
One of the stupidest things I've ever heard, but all right.
I actually read this incredible piece on Mashable, I think it was, with this guy who wrote a rant about it, and it was brilliantly written, where he talked about, like, you know, courage is not that, essentially. And the quality, I believe that the quality of the audio that comes over these wireless, this wireless new proprietary wireless standard is inferior to cable.
Bobbins in every possible way, apart from the fact that it's wireless. Speaking as a guy blowing my own trumpet slightly here, I dug up this picture of someone who chained together about 15 different adapters and plugged them into a computer. So I just tweeted it with the word courage, and it's been retweeted 10,000 times.
Oh my God. What a hilarious that we've come full circle, right? And now we once again need dongles. Like, I would have thought Apple's predicated on making everything sleek and smooth and sexy, and then they ship a phone with a dongle.
Now, so I think we all agree that this is a dumb decision in many ways. However, yeah. the question I have is, Apple are in obviously a leading spot. They build one of the most popular phones in the world, some of the most popular devices in the world. And at some point, you have got to move forward, right? You have got to move forward with technology,
yes,
in different ways. So on one hand, I get it, because if they don't do it, and if Google don't do it, it's probably not going to happen. You know, I'm if they remove the headphone jack from the Ubuntu phone, I'm not sure how much of an impact that's going to have, right? But also the fact that they've completely just destroyed the ability for so many existing devices to work with the iPhone 7 without a dongle. And from what I understand, this is some Apple standard. It's not like an open standard or anything
Lightning,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, how do we get the balance?
I think part of the problem is if you look at when they removed CD drives, right, everyone jumped up and down about that, and this is terrible and oh my God and everything. But that got more acceptance, I think. Whereas this, it's half about modernization. But you know, someone inside Cupertino has sat there and thought, well, you know, now we're going to sell a shedload of wireless headphones at $95 a piece. And that's obviously entered into the calculation.
Yep.
If they could say, we've removed this stuff, but then maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know if I agree. I think here's why Apple's different than almost any other company that would have did this, in my opinion. Right, long term here, we're giving up a universal open protocol that all devices work with for a proprietary one. And if you don't expect the company to abuse that and try to make money in the long run and stop you from doing what you want to do with your equipment, then I don't think you've been paying attention to what they do. And the difference is,
right,
and I think part of the problem for me with this decision is, if they would have said, okay, we're removing the analog jack, but we're replacing it with USB-C, which is a standard that everyone uses, that would have been a completely different thing than saying, now the only jack on this thing is Lightning, which is proprietary to us, and we license at a fee. So, for instance, if you use Square, yeah, it used to just work because you could plug it into the analog. And I know for now they have the dongle that works, but they clearly, I think, were annoyed that people can just plug something into this and have it work however they want without paying us. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And I think that's more what it's about. Yeah. Where if they would have did USB-C, any other Android phone that does this, it will be USB-C. And to me, that's a totally different discussion.
That's such a council of despair. Oh my God, you can't go, well, Apple, right? They just screw you. And they just have to accept that.
When Schiller announced that, he said, we have a vision of how audio should work on multiple devices, and that's wireless. You can't even charge the phone wirelessly, so they're not that concerned with having cables, right? And now you can't even listen to wired music and charge your phone without an adapter. That's absurd.
Well, and the thing is as well that was outlined in this article that I wrote was, it's not just audio, right? I mean, think about Square devices. Think about...
No, they've all moved on now. I thought that. Basically,
there are things. I mean,
everyone who used to be using...
like the iRig.
Everyone who used to be using the headphone jack as some way of plugging things into an iPhone, almost all of them have now stopped doing that, and they're now wireless. Or
there are a lot of those products, though, that exist.
Would they have been able to exist without that port being there in the beginning?
No, almost certainly not.
Okay, so that's a better question to ask, I think.
But exactly as Jeremy says, Apple don't want you taking your unbeautiful third-party device and plugging it into their shiny iPhone.
Wait. To be clear, it's nothing to do with the beauty of it. It has to do with the profit of it. Apple doesn't give a shit if things look good or bad. They care if they make money from it. It just so happens that they've built their brand around looking good.
I don't think there's two things to mutually exclusive. I think they care about both of those things.
They clearly care
about the look of their products and services, given the fact that
having had an intimate knowledge of Apple for the last, I don't know, 25 or so years and worked with them really closely, I know without any doubt that they could give less than two squirts out of my butt what it looks like if it sells really well. I know
that's
an absolute fact.
Absolute bullshit. I don't believe that for a second.
Total fact. Total absolute fact.
Look at the design. Look, say a lot of things about Apple. The design is incredibly shitty, I agree. Do Apple care about removing this open thing and being able to charge licensing fees for this? Absolutely. Are Apple solving a problem that doesn't really exist? Absolutely. Yep. But to suggest that Apple don't care about the aesthetics of things is just plainly just plainly wrong.
No, no, no.
I mean, Apple have led a design revolution, whether you like it or not, in technology.
Bullshit.
They have.
Bullshit.
Reason why so many...
You just made that up. So, you pulled that out of Apple's PR butt, and you're just parroting their thing.
Hang on. Let me finish my point. If you look at...
Give me one example.
Let me finish my point. If you look at the world that existed before Apple started designing their products and services in the way that they've started doing them, computers were beige, they were bulky, they were ugly.
Not true. Not true at all.
Apple changed the quality of the boxes that things
were
coming.
Beige and some that were bulky. But that is not true across the board. They didn't invent good-looking stuff. And they haven't just made good-looking stuff.
They've made some good-looking things.
Not entirely. Here's the thing. My general stance on this is simple. If people are buying Apple products, they're buying them with the knowledge that Apple is going to fuck them with an oversized dildo. You know that going into it. You know that if you're putting a lot of money into purchasing content on iTunes, you know that you're going to get screwed, not just in terms of total cost, but in terms of what you can do with that content and how long you can keep it.
Didn't they push the music industry to do all the DRM-free music?
They didn't really push it. So they kind of twisted people's words a bit. That becomes a whole different thing. But they didn't really push it from that side of things. In fact, Apple has kind of forced people into the opposite approach. If they cared about DRM free, if you went and you purchased applications and software through iTunes of any kind, you would just simply have that software forever and it would be yours. But that is not the case right now. And that will never be the case with Apple because money is everything to them. That is, they're a for-profit corporation. That's what they do. And Jeremy was absolutely right. They removed this port from the iPhone because now they have a proprietary standard, quote unquote standard, that they can charge people for and they couldn't before. Yeah. This is 100% about money, just like everything else they do.
Now, bear with me here. I agree with all that entirely if you assume that what everyone wants is wired headphones, right? But I brought this up with a bunch of people I know who are iPhone users, and essentially all of them, with the notable exception of my daughter, have said, I've already got wireless headphones anyway. And I said, you've got wireless headphones? You charge them up all the time? Are you mental? But loads of people are already doing it. I was genuinely surprised at this. Neve hasn't, but that's mainly because if she showed up and said, I want a pair of headphones for £100, she would fail the dad laugh test. And so wouldn't get them.
I still have both. Until USB 5 is around... The problem is really good, high-quality headphones just can't be wireless. It's not possible with the current Bluetooth technology, right? Yep. And Bluetooth 5 is going to alleviate some of that. And I think that's why, at this point, Apple would be out of their mind, I think, to remove it from a laptop, because professional audio people, latency and all that stuff really, really matters. And with Bluetooth, the audio is just not even in the realm of close to
Professional audio people were already in the habit of buying all sorts of mad FireWire stuff just so they could keep their Apple Macs anyway, right? This is Epsilon to them.
Yeah, that's fair. If you're a professional audio person, you're going to buy an audio interface that's going to sit outside. But I think the point that Jeremy's making is fair, though, is that, I mean, there's professional audio people who are making music, who will buy those interfaces. But for audiophiles who love to listen to really high-quality music...
Bear with me.
They're not going to ever use anything that's wireless, frankly.
Which means that if you're into audio, you should never, ever buy an Apple product. It's very simple. But
in your experience, you three, yes, I'm sure that people who want really good high-quality audio wouldn't go wireless headphones. But most of the people I see in the street... listening to the iPhone, I've just got the Apple headphones, right? The ones that came with it. So they can't be that worried about audio quality. And I think that Bluetooth headphones can match that, right? They can't match your amazing £200 Sennheisers. But if you were the sort of person who would have just used the Apple headphones that came in the box and were happy with them, surely you'd be happy with a pair of Bluetooth headphones. And that's not a proprietary standard. And you can buy it from any manufacturer who doesn't need to license Lightning, right?
You know, you are right. You're totally right. You're absolutely right. I think if people weren't going to care all that much before, and they weren't using any sort of, they weren't going to buy their own headphones, they weren't using any additional accessories that required that jack, I just don't think they're going to give a shit. I think people should give a shit. It's not just about the headphones, it's about Apple's business practices.
Go to
like
work
this,
and but, charge their phones and listen to wired headphones and now can't do that will care because it's an annoyance.
I think a lot of people
and that's not a small amount of people.
That's right.
So people
that's
will
true.
Care about being annoyed.
Yes.
I'm also just curious, these AirPod things that they've designed. I mean, obviously people can get other wireless, and there'll be other products that you'll be able to use with this, but they've got to be able to fall out of people's ears. I mean, you know, I bought these, I think I actually reviewed them on the show, these headphones that clip around your head. They're designed for running. Mm-hmm. And they're brilliant. And the audio quality of Bluetooth, while it's not perfect, is actually pretty good. Like, it's good enough for me. But the reason why it clips on your head is because they bloody fall out all the time. Even the wired ones fall out of
my ears.
I'll
tell you what, there is, in my opinion, a massive business opportunity here for something like Match.com, matching up people who only have a left-hand AirPod with people who only have a right-hand AirPod and having them come together and get married and share their headphones or something.
Right? It turns out that a lot of it actually has to do with the kind of the shape of your ear, because these, I don't know why people are acting like these are new. Truly wireless headphones have been out for a really long time now, because I was looking at the Braggy Dash, which actually looked pretty cool and do a lot of other biometric stuff for runners and things like that. So
are they two separate pieces though? I've wireless headphones I've had for ages, but the idea of having two separate pieces just invites you to lose one of them.
So I've kind of used them once. They didn't fall out of my ears, but I've heard it has a lot to do with the shape of how your ear is.
I can't believe that.
So the thing I don't understand about people losing them is if one falls out of your ear, you'll immediately know. Even if you're running, it'll be on the ground. If you're in a marathon or something, it's already smashed. You're out of luck. But by then, if you're running a marathon, you should know they fall out of your ears. So the first time you run with them, or just use them, don't be in an area where there's 10,000 people running behind you, I guess. I don't think that's as big of a problem as people think.
And, you know, that holds true for underwear, though. You don't run a marathon the first time you wear a pair of underwear. The first time you use something, you don't do it in the marathon.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
That's a good point.
On the flip side of that, there is almost zero chance that my underwear will spontaneously fall off and get lost while I'm running a marathon.
You know, I don't know. The few times I've actually gone running in my life, which I can count on like two hands, like literally, I do not run. But a few times I've done it, that underwear does some weird shit, and I've learned that not all underwear is created equal, just like not all headphones are created equal. They have to fit into a tight nook and cranny, and you want them to be just right.
So I have a question for you guys that relates to this. The Google Pixel phone is rumored to be announced.
You don't know that's what the announcement's about.
It is.
That's why I just said the word rumored. You can't destroy my point before I've even finished it.
You can try.
Actually, you can. Reasonable, you've been doing that for about 15 years. So it's October 4th, rumors that Google Pixel phone, if Android Police is to be believed, or the Nest ad is to be believed, which apparently showed it. And
they've got a website. They've got a website up for it now. You've seen that, right?
They've got the made with Google. Yeah, made by, that's it. And this is arguably a better time than ever for Google to be taking the mobile market seriously, because this is apparently an opinionated move for Google. You know, the Samsung Notes are blowing up and being recalled and removed from airplanes. The LG device apparently hasn't been doing very good. The Apple, the iPhone 7 has had some consternation regarding this headphone jack and various other things. I guess my question is do you think that this headphone jack issue, I mean, Brian, you're going to have to hold yourself back a second,
try
all the other issues with Apple to one side, just looking at this headphone jack issue, do you guys think that, given the fact that a pretty valid competitor is about to hit the market in the Google Pixel, that this headphone jack thing will actually influence a negative level of sales for the iPhone 7? Because the Apple have made what we would consider to be stupid decisions over the years, and it hasn't massively impacted them. This has had way more contention than I've seen with other things.
But your question is, are all the people who think that this headphone jack thing is stupid people who weren't going to buy an iPhone anyway?
Right.
And I'm saying, would somebody who was interested in buying an iPhone 7
And maybe they're thinking, you know, this Google device is probably going to be pretty good. It looks like an iPhone. It's pretty. It's a lot prettier than the Android devices used to be. I'm evaluating the Google Pixel and the iPhone 7. Is the headphone jack going to be enough of an issue for them to stick to the Google or to go for another device?
Do you think the Pixel might not have a headphone jack? Wouldn't it be brilliant if it didn't have a headphone jack?
It would be surprising, I think.
Because it's not like they could have taken it out since the announcement, right? They'd have had to plan that.
If it originally didn't have one, they're trying to find a way to shoehorn one in right now.
Right, exactly. Probably actually true. So I think the people that are going to buy an iPhone are already so into the iOS ecosystem that while a very, 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 very small percentage might switch because of this, I don't think it'll be a big driver for switching.
It's not enough to break. I think people are annoyed about it, but I mean, again, I talked to Neve about this, right? And she's like, well, yeah, that seems annoying, and I can see some kind of I want Bluetooth headphones being on her list when she gets this phone. But she was quite excited about the other stuff, like, oh, it's waterproof now. You know,
That's something that every phone should be from now on. I don't know why it even is taking this long.
Yeah, I agree.
To be fair, watching the other bits of the announcement that Apple made when they presented the iPhone 7, there's actually some pretty cool stuff that they've put in there.
No, there's not.
So I can see how this kind of, I know what you think.
So I'm going to flip your question around a little bit. Do you think other smartphone manufacturers, obviously with the exception of Motorola's, who flagship already doesn't have a headphone jack, do you think other smartphone manufacturers will follow suit specifically on their flagship devices?
I do.
I think if they do, it will be with an open standard, though.
I think they're going to do it. Some of them are going to be proprietary standards, and it's all going to be stupid ideas.
Do you think every single one of the other ones will be USB-C?
I think a lot of them will be. I think a lot of them will because I think a lot of them will try and do what Apple did, only better.
Do you think there's a world in which Apple eventually moves to USB-C?
I think so. And when they do it, they'll call it bravery or something.
Do you think they will do? Seriously, I'm honestly not sure they will.
I want to get back just for a second. Jono's question about this. Okay, can I answer that with a story about a sweater? Because I feel like that would be the only way I can answer this. I'm going to go ahead and tell the story.
It's the only way that which you could answer this. I can't think of another.
So last week I took my daughter out shopping for some back to school shopping, right? And while we were at the store, I decided I needed some new sweaters. The weather's starting to change. I just want to buy a new sweater. We were at the store, and there was two sweaters. Both of them looked totally nice. I went in and I was going to, you know, try them on. I was in the dressing room slipping those sweaters on. I tried one of them on and it fit totally fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It fit fine. Like the cuffs were a little bit tight, but otherwise, I'm sure that would loosen up and it was fine. It was a comfy sweater. I put the other one on and I felt like it was trying to kill me, like a boa constrictor was squeezing the life out of me. Like, I swear to God, it was the right size, but there was just something about the way the sweater was built where it made my life significantly worse in every possible way. It was tight around the arms. It was tight around my boobs. It made me feel like I had like D cup boobs somehow. Like it was just, it looked bad. It felt bad. It hurt. And to make matters worse, it had this tag. Like some clothes have tags that you don't really notice, but then you get the odd shirt or something that the tag just itches like a motherfucker. This one had the itchy fucking tag. Now, here's the thing. The itchy tag is like the goddamn headphone jack. Yeah, you know, if all things were equal, that might have made the difference for me. But the sweater was trying to destroy my life already, so I just don't care. The itchy tag didn't enter into my buying decision-making process because I hated the sweater and it made me look like I had the most gigantic man boobs in the history of man boobs. And so it just didn't enter into it. That's how I feel about Apple's headphone jack.
But that's you already weren't on the list of people who were about to buy an iPhone, so they lost exactly zero consumers in that case. They don't care about
that. I think that's right, but here's the thing. That sweater. No, see, I'm not super trim.
To make products for you, they would sell one of each product, and that's it.
No, this is true. This is true.
You'd be really happy with it.
Here's the thing. People make bad decisions all the time. This sweater existed. People probably are out there buying this sweater. Now, this sweater, it wasn't going to fit on any of the three of us. Well, maybe Jeremy, but the other of us, it wasn't going to fit on any of us, right? It's the market was incredibly small for the people that this sweater wouldn't choke the ever-loving life out of. And realistically, the iPhone is the same way. The fact that people buy it doesn't mean that it's not hurting them, doesn't mean that it doesn't have horrible aspects to it that no human being should ever have this in their home. But people are still going to buy it. The headphone jack,
it's no human
really
being that
like
has the same
difference.
Ideals as you have, which is not all human beings.
I disagree.
Once again, it's all about personal trade-offs, which we went through in the last other segment. And
you know what?
Other people have a different outlook on that than you.
We're probably going to go through it in the next episode as well. Just going on a guess here.
But I mean, so I'm flipping the question around again, right? Rotating question. Do you think it's possible that the new Google Pixel phone or some other phone could be as good as or better than an iPhone to iPhone users and not have the headphone jack problem? So at that point, Brian's point about the headphone jack is like the itchy tag. If that's the only difference between two things, then you'll get the one without the itchy tag.
Is anyone who
is thinking about buying an iPhone 7 going to look at the Google phone and go, wow, that's about the same as an iPhone and it has a headphone jack, so I'll switch?
I have to admit, I've been refreshing Google News for updates about the Google Pixel phone for the last couple of months. I've been looking forward to this. Part of the reason is because my phone is a piece of crap because I had a Nexus 6 and I dropped it on the floor. So I'm using a backup Samsung phone. But part of it is ever since Jeremy and I got these Pixel tablets, I've been so impressed with the build quality, with the functionality, with the execution that they've put into that. And there's a few people who I've worked with who are clients who use the Chromebooks, like the Pixel, you know, the Pixel design Chromebooks, that at least from the hardware perspective, it's beautiful. And
just to add in two things here, I had an original Chromebook Pixel. The keyboard started falling apart, and my Pixel C, the hinge, has actually started coming off now because it's just held on with glue. So over time, that glue slowly melts, and the whole thing just falls apart. So you guys know, the build quality is very superficial. I'm a little disappointed in that.
But the thing that I think is becoming really exciting about this is Android is just getting, I think, better and better and better in terms of ease of use, in terms of the fact that it's pretty, it's reliable, but also the services integration is just completely outpacing Apple, right? So OK Google is, Eric and I one night just sat there and compared the two, like she's got an iPhone and I compared OK Google on my Samsung phone. It just blows the pants off what Apple's doing. So I think what's going to happen is, I think the thing that's been holding a lot of iPhone people from moving over to an Android phone primarily has been the fact that they want a beautiful, good-looking device. And when you've got that and you've got better services integration, you've got an operating system that's basically as easy to use, I think that's going to make a real risk for Apple. And the fact that, and I don't think at least the rumors around the Pixel seem to suggest it's going to be as close to an iPhone as anything that's existed as an Android phone. With each Android phone
what
so far, arguably you can find. Well, that kind of balance.
And
of
I don't mean that snarkily. I genuinely don't know.
I mean, like the balance of aesthetics, of hardware quality.
Because literally, I had an iPhone and it was a piece of shit from a hardware perspective. It was flimsy. It was crappy. The screen was substandard. Like it was significantly less quality than like even the Windows mobile phones at the time. So like I've never seen an iPhone that I thought, wow, that's an amazing made of pure diamond piece of hardware. I mean, it seems like hype to me. They seem flimsy.
I would say aesthetically, iPhones are generally more attractive devices to most people than Android phones.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with the point that it's hype, but I think that ship has sailed for all the existing things. I mean, if you take, say, the HTC One M9 or M19 or whatever it was called, right?
Yeah.
Machined out of a single billet of aluminium or whatever. Lovely looking device, but everyone's like, oh, it's HTC, it doesn't matter. They basically can't climb back out of that hole. Google are, with the Pixel range, managed to start at high quality and maintain that. So people, It's genuinely hard to be objective about, is this thing actually aesthetically pleasing? But the market, yeah, of course, the market yeah. tend to go along with the perceived view of what a company produces. And if that company has ever at any point produced a cheap, nasty thing, it tends to pull their brand down, which is why Apple stopped doing the 5C, because they went, yeah, we can make cheap iPhones, and everyone went, oh, cheap plastic iPhone, and it tarnished the brand as a whole, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah. I get that.
I tell you what, I'm sure we'll probably cover this in a future show, but I'm dead curious to see what this new Pixel looks
If you'd like us to cover it in a new show, reviews@badvoltage.org will put you in touch with us, ready to send us four Pixel phones.
Four Pixel phones. And maybe a fifth backup.
We really only need three. I'm good. I don't need more phones around me. Let me ask you guys this. Are any of you guys actually, do any of you have an iPhone currently?
No.
Depends on your definition of have. It's not my primary phone. I have an iPhone 5 on my desk, which was my primary phone, and I now use it for testing.
Okay. You know what? I don't really think a testing device counts. You know, I used to have a Mac, but I never really used it. I just use it for like build testing or whatever.
Yeah, no, but it was my primary phone, but now it isn't.
But yeah, but then you got better stuff. It's cool. Would any of you guys consider buying this new iPhone headphone jack or not?
No.
Yep.
No, not at all.
You would?
I would.
Stuart?
Yep.
Really? Are you going to?
At the moment, I'm not shopping for a new phone. 6 months from now, my big problem with the 7 is it's too big. If they came out with a 7 SE, which is the size of the iPhone 5, the iPhone SE came out and it's the size of the iPhone 5, and that's the right size for a phone to me, right? If they came out with a new model of the SE and it didn't have a headphone jack, I'd consider it. The fact that it doesn't have a headphone jack would be a big point against it, in my opinion. Okay. But it's not in itself a knockdown reason not to buy it.
Okay, you're the only one that can really answer this question then, because I clearly would never even consider it. So is the headphone jack...
Well, to provide
jack...
maybe a comparison, I am going to buy the Google Pixel almost certainly. If that doesn't have a headphone jack, I'm going to buy it anyway. This is just not
would it be a knock against it if it didn't have it?
I would prefer it to have a headphone jack.
Two models, one was $40 more expensive but came with a headphone jack, would you pop the extra 40?
I'd pop the extra 40 because then I wouldn't have to buy new headphones.
So. Would you spend $20
if it supported wireless charging?
Yeah.
I didn't hear any of that.
I didn't either.
That was just a lot of talking.
Would you pay $20 on a dongle which connected its port at the bottom to a headphone jack? Or would you be happy if that came in the box for free? Would you use it? Or would you go out and buy new headphones anyway?
Honestly, I'd just go out and buy new headphones. I just sink the cost and just go out and get new stuff.
Jeremy, ask a question about wireless charging because that's really interesting.
Well, I think if a phone with USB-C and wireless charging is a different conversation than a phone with lightning and no wireless charging. Because it just changes what you can do with it.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily following why having USB-C is miles better than lightning. It's better because it's an open thing, yes. But it's not that much better. I've still got to go and buy new leads anyway. You can't buy cheap leads because they don't work half the time. It's not like I have loads of USB-C stuff.
But you will end up having loads of USB stuff.
Yeah, but you can't.
That's because every single device is going to have one thing, and then one singular device, the iDevices, are going to have the other one.
Only if you're not already an Apple person. If you've got an iPhone and an iPad, they're both Lightning.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you've already bought into that ecosystem.
What do you have that's USB that you need the charging lead?
Right, and that's why Apple does that, because then next time you want to buy a non-i device, you're like, well, you have to buy all new stuff.
Yeah, but I've got to buy all new stuff.
The lesson you should learn from that is you should stay away from those devices because they're locking you into one singular company.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy, I want to hug you right now.
I'm not for a moment.
So that's why I don't buy those devices.
But I've already got a lightning cable.
I don't know why you wouldn't see that as dangerous, not just as me or you, but as an average consumer. It would strike me as odd if I was a non-technical Apple fan, and every time I saw any other electronic device from literally any manufacturer in the world that was an Apple, they'd be like, well, how come those all have one thing and I have a different thing?
Word.
Yeah.
That should always make you nervous as a consumer.
I agree with
regardless of if you're technical or not technical.
It does make me nervous.
But obviously, most people just...
Obviously, a lot of people,
most people just don't care.
25% of the market just don't care. I wish they did care, but they don't.
Until Apple decides to change their interface again and they have to buy all new stuff or have changed dongles like your retweeted picture.
Yeah, but that's exactly what they did when they went from the 30-pin dock connector to Lightning. And everyone bitched about it and nobody stopped buying the phones.
But that was basically just a charger.
You know... In thinking back in the past, so I used to be a Mac guy, right? I mean, that was my thing. Like, I lived in the Mac universe back during, like, the Mac OS 7, Mac OS 8 days, pre-OS 10 and all that stuff. Back when USB was first becoming a thing and Apple was changing everything over to USB. Before USB, all the peripherals, keyboards, mouse, everything, they used a connector called ADB, which looked a lot like a PS2 port, right? It was a little circular PS2-looking port. It was actually really, really... really similar. Now, when they switched over to USB, there was about 5 seconds of, oh, I can't use my stuff. And then everyone realized, oh, there's little itty bitty tiny plastic adapters that you could go from ADB to USB. And then immediately the story changed among the community to, yay, isn't it amazing that we live in a technological world where Apple can innovate and push things forward and choose new ports, and we have great little adapters? Look at my adapters. And they had little fancy adapters with different colors on them and all sorts of things, so we could use our cool little trackballs and whatnot on the new iMacs that had just come out, and for the first time Macs had USB ports, and it was amazing. Well, and I just think it's interesting that that was the approach back then, and that was the response back then, and the response nowadays is quite a bit different, and I just think it's interesting.
A kind of side point to that, as I understand it, and I'm not sure I understand this correctly, and I'm happy to be corrected, I think the new MacBooks charge off USB-C. And okay. I'll bet money your laptop has a proprietary, only works in laptops from that manufacturer charging connector.
In fact, it probably only works in that individual laptop.
Yeah. But it didn't stop you totally buying it. What? We're not rushing out buying MacBooks just because they charge. And that's exactly the same thing, isn't it?
This is kind of the point I was making earlier. I don't think it's the tag, right? It's the itchy tag. I would prefer, like, if my Dell laptop charged purely over USB-C, got rid of the proprietary outlet entirely. That would be fantastic. But again, you have to kind of consider the whole picture. And it still confuses me why people would buy into an iPhone anyway. So I look at the audio jack and I'm like, well, yeah, that was a stupid move. They had a standard and they went away from a standard towards something stupid and inferior and proprietary, but it doesn't really matter because the rest of the phone's stupid anyway.
Well, I think part of it is that people just dealing with annoying connectors is something that we live with in our lives, right? Right. Like whether it's, oh, I, you know, these headphones come in a 3.5 mil jack, or but I need a 1/4-inch jack to plug it in there. Oh, whatever, I'll just go and buy an adapter. Or I don't have the right charger. Or this thing has got like mini USB. This thing's got micro USB. This thing's got a mini SIM. This thing's got a nano SIM. We do this every day, and you basically just buy something off Amazon.com that makes the problem go away. And I think that's the reason why this doesn't impact the sales.
Surely the eventual goal here is go wireless for everything, right?
Right.
Think of the
security issues, Langridge. Think of the security issues. People can hack you. We should cut this off right now because we've been talking for 35 minutes about connectors.
So,
much as our audience probably like this, I think there's enough time to talk about connectors. Any final points?
No. Connect with us at community.badvoltage.org.
No! Nicely done.
Boom. The Bad Voltage team thought it would be interesting to have a discussion about smart bulbs, whether they're a good idea or not, what the future holds, etc. Before we do that, though, I thought I'd give a brief introduction of the multiple smart bulb solutions I have running in my home. The first system I have running is Philips Hue. Based on the low-power wireless mesh networking Zigbee standard, this system requires a hub to operate. The Hue line offers a wide variety of options, including standard bulbs, accent lights, spotlights, light strips, integrated switches, and more. Setup is a breeze, and while the stock app could be more intuitive, the large number of third-party applications and integrations more than makes up for that. The bulbs are bright, and color saturation is acceptable. One downside to this option is that it's on the pricier end of the spectrum. The second system I have running is LifeX. Based on traditional Wi-Fi, no additional hub is needed. The LifeX line is limited to standard white and color bulbs at this time, although they have said that additional options are coming in the future. Setup is once again a breeze, and the stock app is intuitive and full-featured. It even includes some nice touches such as cool effects baked right into the app that you can only get with Hue by using third-party apps. The number of third-party integrations isn't as large as Hue, but has been growing steadily as of late. The bulbs have the greatest brightness and color saturation of any smart bulb I've seen, and the price of LifeX bulbs are comparable to those of Hue. Depending on your needs and design requirements, I'd recommend both systems. Keep in mind there are less expensive options available from the likes of GE, Wink, Wemo, Cree, and quite a few others, but I've never used those so cannot comment on how they compare. With that brief intro out of the way, let's get to the first question my co-presenters had. Are smart bulbs a good idea? Let me give you a few examples of how I personally use the bulbs, and then we'll get the discussion going from there. First, on the more practical side of things, I have a bunch of automation set up that make my home safer and more convenient. Open the front door when it's dark outside and my living room lights go on. Open the basement door and the basement lights go on, which is especially handy when you're doing laundry. Next, as I have Redshift adjust the color temperature of my screens at night, the lights in my office also adjust to reduce the amount of blue light as it gets later. Lastly, and admittedly on the less practical side, when my favorite NFL team scores a touchdown, various lights in my house flash the team colors. So, fellow presenters, what do you think?
I have to say, it is genuinely glorious that somewhere over there in America, some lights flash every time Liverpool Football Club score a goal. Well played.
Well, here, listening to the review, Jeremy, first of all, how often do you actually get to see the lights flash, what with you being a Bulls fan and all?
Because the Bills are abjectly terrible, not often.
It's like I don't know whether this works. It should work. It
makes me a little sad. I will concede. Not ideal.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. All right. So in reading through all this, I think it's cool. I like to tinker, and I totally get how it's super cool to tinker with, you know, light bulbs and connected light bulbs and hooking them up to other systems to like do cool things. I totally get that. But I can't help but stop every time you talked about the light bulb needing wireless connectivity to a server or a hub system. I had to stop myself and think, okay, so you are intentionally creating a security vulnerability in your home for the purpose of light bulb tinkering. And that's where I stop. That's where it stops me every time because it just doesn't seem like it's worth it. Considering
what's going to happen? Someone's going to switch his lights
off?
So
I was going to say, are you fucking with me?
Are you screwing with me? Like literally, you're providing the information up to in some cases, proprietary service that says, here's when I'm going in and out of specific rooms. Like, that's creepy as shit.
The light bulbs themselves don't have motion detectors or anything like that, so they don't expose that data. I have other sensors in the house that expose that data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Although, to be honest with you, if what you're looking for is the perfect canonical platonic example of a data transmission thing which has a side channel, the lights in your house are it, because you can find out whether you're in or out of a specific room by just sitting on the street and looking in the window.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But normally you don't upload that data to the cloud. You know what I mean? It's like a toilet. I've seen, you know, like in Japan, they have the crazy fancy toilets with like the heated stuff and the LED things and the swivel arm with the TV on it. And that's well and cool because I like to take a glorious shit as much as the next guy, but I don't want the information about how long I'm shitting to be uploaded to the cloud in a proprietary service so that people know when, how long, quantity, and what I did on that toilet. These are things I just don't want to happen. And the light bulbs, while not fully as invasive as the shitter example, are just like a step in that direction that just makes me
open source service, would you feel more comfortable? Or is it the fact that it's a proprietary service? Or is it just the notion of uploading it anywhere that makes
both,
you feel uncomfortable?
Both make me uncomfortable. The proprietary makes me extra uncomfortable because why would anyone want that data in a proprietary service? That's just so creepy.
So one good thing, especially about the LifeX bulbs do have a LAN-only ability where you can completely shut it off from the cloud. You obviously lose a small amount of functionality in that. So the app you can go into on your phone and turn it on and off. If you disable remote access, obviously that will not work. But it has a local LAN-only API. So
can you do that without going through the application?
Yeah.
So I can go to a website and like connect to the light bulb web server or something?
Well, it has a... So there's two different APIs. One's a LAN API that only works over the local network, and then they have their cloud API that, you know, if you generate a token, a LifeX token and all that, it'll work remotely through the cloud.
But they're the same thing. Okay. The app, which controls things via the cloud, can also do it via the LAN. So you don't lose... The functionality you lose is being able to stand somewhere that isn't your LAN and still control your light bulbs.
Or anything that relies on the cloud service, which a lot of it I don't use. But yeah, yes. But any of the automations you could, if you wanted to write them, let's say you were using OpenHAB, which is open source server, you could still control the lights completely LAN only, not connected to any kind of cloud service at all, and it would still work.
Right. But the Philips Hue doesn't do that. I mean, this is what I don't understand. They've got a hub. You have to buy a hub in your house, and then the hub talks to your light bulbs via Zigbee.
So the reason it needs a hub is because the Zigbee protocol dictates that there has to be one always on service that's plugged in. Having a hub's not a problem. Right.
I don't see a problem with having a hub in your house. I don't see why the cloud's involved.
The Hue lights themselves, you can... There is a LAN-only way to control through the hub the lights.
Right.
But it is... Because of the firmware upgrades and everything would stop working on the Hue, you would lose a little bit more functionality, but both of them you could get to be somewhat useful completely unconnected from the internet.
Right. Certainly the Hue as well, the Hue Hub, its control protocol or whatever has been reverse engineered because Hero of the Revolution, Matthew Garrett, did it. Wrote a Python thing.
Literally 30 minutes ago, I'm sitting here at a conference while we record this. Matthew Garrett got up and gave a speech about the frightening uses of various services and whatnot to compromise your own personal data.
Yep.
Which I just think is hilarious considering what we're talking about right now. I'm curious. Like, you gave the example of going down into your basement, and I totally get that. You open the door to the basement, you want those lights to turn on because you do not want to trip down the stairs, you're carrying a basket full of, you know, dirty or clean laundry. I totally get it. It makes total sense. But why not just like a motion sensor light, or why not like...
I was going to ask the same thing.
Like a there's like a couple of various solutions people have been using for like a good, you know, 60, 70 years. How is this significantly better for your life than what came before it?
Well, I think the... flexibility and the other things that you can do with it mean that it's a lot more interesting to me personally. The fact that they're programmatic, I think, is interesting. I share a lot of your cloud / privacy concerns, and a lot of the smart things I have in my home I use with reduced functionality because I do disable some of the cloud stuff. And in many cases, because that's not fully supported, things just break, and I live with them being broken because I won't throw a drop cam in my living room, for instance, because I think that to me is too far over the line. And it's
so let me get this right then. You can use a motion sensor to switch on the lights when you're there, which is obviously your use cases here of, you know, when you open the front door and going down to the basement.
Right. And I have a bunch of those set up. Those are just two examples. I mean, that's not all.
Right. The other thing which I can imagine being a benefit of this kind of system is having the lights go on if you're out of town. But you can also buy like devices that do that. And these devices, both the motion sensors and these devices, are not connected to the cloud and way cheaper.
So the interesting thing there, though, let's say you have one of those schedulers and you say, okay, I'm going on vacation right. for a week, turn the lights on every day at 8 o'clock. I think your lights turning on exactly at 8 o'clock and exactly off at 11 p.m. are something that people will notice, right?
They have randomized.
Right, but this, so this one you can build. This one you can not only have a randomizer, but you can say 10 minutes after it turns dark so that every day it knows when the sun rises, it knows when the sun sets. There's so much more data available to the system that I think you can just do a lot more interesting things.
I am certainly in favor of the concept that instead of having to buy a device and hope it provides exactly the features you want, you just throw stuff at a Python script which can do anything.
Right.
And that makes more sense. But what you've described is I think there are three things you're doing with the lights, if I understand correctly, right? The first one is that you can turn them on and off without getting out of bed. The second one is that you can feed data into them from things like opening the front doors. And the third one is stupid stuff like listening to an RSS feed and flashing the lights when the bells score. Of the important one there is clearly the middle one. I open the front door, the lights turn on. But you also need a bunch of motion sensors or door is open sensors or whatever in your house, right? Just going out and buying the light bulbs doesn't get you all that. It's because you've already got a wired house, yes?
Correct for a lot of it, yes.
Yeah, right. So if I went out and just bought the light bulbs, all I could do is the daft stuff, like having the house explode into you'll never walk alone every time Liverpool win, or be able to turn the lights off without getting out of bed from my smartphone, which I concede is nice, but I'm not sure it's worth 80 quid a light bulb for.
It strikes me though, that ages ago we did a segment on smart homes, and I forget what we were talking about, but I mentioned a friend of ours who rigged his home up as a smart home, and I'd never really seen one in action before. One of the things that struck me about that was you put all of this infrastructure in place, and I get the impression of what Jeremy's edging towards is, at least when you've got it, you've got this infinite palette of things that you can do, right? So, for example, this guy who, when we went to his house, they've got a teenage daughter, and one of the things that they did was basically when dinner's ready, it flashes the lights to indicate that she should come downstairs.
Right.
And if she doesn't come downstairs within 5 minutes, it flashes more vigorously. And if she doesn't come downstairs within 7 minutes, it just switches the lights off in her room.
It opens the piranha pit.
and that kind of stuff you just couldn't do with like the traditional devices, right?
You know, so I'm guessing that's kind of what you're... Speaking as someone who has a daughter that I have to fetch for dinner, you know what I do? And this is crazy, guys. This is absolutely crazy. I know
you
that most people would do.
You just go talk to
say,
your daughter.
I say, yeah, hey, daughter, it's dinner time. It's yeah. really crazy. I know. But I don't happen to have a 75,000 square foot home. It's not all that difficult for me to just walk two rooms away and say, hey, you want to come over for dinner real quick? Super easy. Again, I don't see... Okay, few things. One, tinkering is cool. You guys, I think we can all agree tinkering with these sorts of gadgets is wicked cool. I think some of these programmable light bulbs are bitchin' cool looking, right? I want to play with them. Totally get where Jeremy's at with that. I see some fun aspects to having them in the home and being able to tinker with them. But the security and privacy aspect, you can't overlook those and the current state of things. And the second thing is... I don't see any fundamentally impressive way where this makes our lives better. So I'm giving, for the sake of tinkering, I'm giving up a substantial amount of personal information and privacy. And I think that's a concern.
Exactly as Jeremy says, you don't have to run them in cloud mode, right?
Do they communicate over an existing network? Your laptops, all of our laptops, I mean, if we're running a proprietary system especially, have, even though if we're not specifically connecting up to a cloud, the microphone, the webcam, all of that's accessible from the outside world.
Yeah, but come on, dude. Right, just because there is a potential for... a security issue. If you take that approach far enough, you can't use any technology.
No, at some point, we're not talking about a potential. We're talking about specific cases where we know for a fact that the security vulnerabilities exist and have been consistently exploited at a large scale.
Do we know that for a fact, though?
Yes.
I don't know if we do know that.
No, bear with me, right? Yes, we know for a fact that laptops have been compromised and so on, but what you're talking about there is not specific to light bulbs or the IoT or anything. You're talking about any data.
So what you guys are saying
goes through your computer for any reason.
Just So just to be clear, what you guys, so what the argument against my argument is that because we haven't yet seen the leaked NSA document specifically mentioning the light bulbs, they're probably safe?
No, the opposite.
No, I think because it's the same technology.
I think we all agree opposite. That they add another attack surface in your home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once you have a single wireless laptop in your home, I would argue that the additional attack surface given to you by a smart light bulb is so small as to be negligible. And you could live your life in a Faraday cage, and some people do. I'm personally not willing to do that. I'm also not willing to give up unlimited amounts of data, but I think everyone's going to make a personal decision on what they think, where their personal line is, right? I think in this show, we've made it pretty clear. You're really far on one side. Jono is really far on the other side. And Ak and I are somewhere in the middle, right? I think it's more of a personal decision, but as long as you understand what is involved, which I think all four of us personally do, I don't think the average American certainly, or even average person worldwide, is aware. But once you're aware of that, then you're just making personal decisions, and all of our tolerances are clearly a little bit different in that regard.
I think certainly if you look at, we mentioned Matt Garrett, he's been going through reviewing a bunch of these on Amazon. And the reviews are all about, he spent time looking at the protocol by which you talk to these individual bulbs, and some of them are actually really good. You know, they encrypt the data, they deal with it securely, and so on. So with your communication backwards and forwards is fine. Other ones, anyone who can connect to your LAN can control your light bulbs. Anyone who's standing near your light bulbs can control your light bulbs in some cases. So I do think there is definitely value in evaluating, is this one more secure than others? If you're just going to rule out the whole idea of light bulbs, then you don't need to have that discussion. You just don't get to have the light bulbs flash when the bells score.
Right. Well, I barely get to have the lights flash when the bills score, so I don't know that that's
exactly.
And I think we talked about this, if I remember right. It sounds vaguely familiar, but I think what we need along that issue of what consumers know and what they don't know about these things is there should be some kind of way of determining how important security is in these different products. Because it would be unfair to characterize any product by a general rule. Like, not all cars have got the same safety standards, for example.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same with these products. But that's the challenge right here, is that it's difficult to actually make that judgment call without delving right into all of the details or knowing Matthew Garrett.
So, right.
Cool. Well, I'd be curious to know if the Bad Voltage community have got any light bulbs set up, if they're going to use them, or if they support teams that actually score goals.
Well, statistically speaking, they support teams that score more goals than the Bills. So, I mean, probably.
I think I support more teams, and I don't support any teams.
I'm sorry,
it's
Jeremy.
Really unfair. I don't know anything about the Bills. I don't even know what game it is.
They're not
American football.
They're not the worst. To be fair, they're not the worst.
Saying you're not the Cleveland Browns is really not an encouraging statement.
I have a little concern I want to share with you boys. I'm a bit worried about Brian, because I worry that Brian is becoming a doomsday prepper.
It's possible.
With some of the conversations we've been having on this show. I'm worried that Brian at some point is going to basically... Do you know that guy who wrote The Cuckoo's Egg, Clifford Stoll?
Yeah, I like that.
I think he basically went around proclaiming that computers are evil.
He did.
And I'm a bit worried about you, Brian. I'm a bit worried that you're going to... that the security and the freedom is going to... It means that you're going to basically just be... balancing yourself backwards and forwards using one of those old Game & Watch Donkey Kong games from the 80s, because it can't be connected to the internet.
To be clear, I have a Donkey Kong Game & Watch at home, so this is an entirely reasonable process.
Not only does he have one, he's speaking to us on it right now because it's the most advanced piece of technology he's allowed to own.
You know, guys, if I could find a way to make that work, I totally would.
I do find your deep-rooted hatred of Apple interesting, considering given the two phone, although I guess I'm going to answer my own question by you don't have a phone, but I was going to say, given the fact that one of the manufacturers has chosen to mine data and sell that as part of their service and one hasn't, I'm surprised you don't like the one that hasn't, but you just don't like either of them.
I've written far more articles negative about Google than I have about Apple. I have concerns.
So back to John's point, you're turning into a prepper.
Perhaps, you know, maybe a little bit, but a nerdy doomsday prepper who is trying to have amazing technology where I simply don't let people look at me naked through the webcam. I've told you guys my Xbox story, right?
I would pay extra for that feature.
So, because you seriously, you guys have all heard the Xbox thing, right?
Sounds vaguely
okay.
Familiar.
All right, quick version of it. My wife bought me an Xbox One, right? I like game consoles, and games have always been my weakness, right? So, like, I'll buy game consoles from any company no matter what, no matter how evil or whatever we may think they are. So my wife bought me an Xbox One. And okay. Xbox One comes with the newfangled Kinect bar that kind of looks at you, recognizes you, and auto-logs you in when it sees you.
Right. Newfangled from like 10 years ago.
No, right. Well, newfangled when we bought it.
No, the Kinect 2.
At the time. Oh, this is
a while. Yeah, at the time. This okay. isn't a brand new thing. She bought it.
I was going to say, this is sounding
out.
Like a bad Voltage review. That's new.
No. So it's so true. Anyway, it just stopped working, right? It just wouldn't detect my face. It detected my wife's face just fine. It wouldn't detect my face. And eventually I was like, well, it's fine. You can just log in with the controller anyway. No big deal. I don't worry about it. And then one day, I took a shower, and I come out of the shower, and I don't have anything on. I'm completely buck naked because I'd forgotten to bring in my clothes to the bathroom. So I'm dashing out into my bedroom where the Xbox is to pull the clothes out of the dresser. And then I hear this plukink, and I look over at my TV screen, and the Xbox says, "Hi, Brian," which means my Xbox One only recognizes me when I'm naked and it can see my genitalia.
Well, here's the thing then. Next time someone told you look like a dick, you know they're telling the truth.
I also find it hilarious that out of all that, you're concerned about having a smart light bulb in your living room, but you'll have a device that recognizes your facial features in your bedroom.
I don't have that anymore. Now, this was when the Xbox first came out. My stance on this has changed a lot in the last few years because I didn't worry about it before.
That was pre-prepper, Jesus. Brian.
This was pre-prepper Brian. This is exactly right. I mean, it was back in the old days, right? I mean, I had webcams everywhere, and I was into let's try and do the early round of home automation, and every console always turned on and looking at me. This was my old way of doing things. And then I realized that I was being fucking stupid, and I changed my approach a little bit.
Ah, see, the Brian epiphany. But yeah, I mean,
it was really the Xbox naked moment where I kind of sat down after that and I was like, yeah, it's looking at me naked. It sent data about me naked up to Microsoft's servers in order to identify me. Not only that, but it's storing that on its servers so that it can recognize me when I'm naked in the future.
All that's clear to me is that Microsoft's facial recognition technology is really good.
Well, here's what I want to know. Here's what I would like to know. With our listener base. Now, we have a very, very nerdy set of listeners, right? I mean, we've got Linux and open source and tech geeks and programmers. We've got the people, the salt of the earth, if you will. I'm curious where our listeners fall on this, let's just call it the Lunduke spectrum for right now. Are you more towards the Lunduke side of things where you're kind of just assuming the worst in terms of security and privacy? Or do you fall on the side of, you know, putting nanny cams everywhere and putting your taxes on the doorstep? Like, where do you stand in that? I'm really genuinely curious because I, in some ways, you boys are probably right. I'm probably really out of touch with what most people feel about these things. That doesn't make me mean that I'm right or wrong, but no, I'm curious. I'm really curious.
I am, yeah, but me too, I suspect most people would say they feel like you, but act like Jono, with a kind of, I should really do something about this at some point.
I do care about security. I don't know why you guys keep using me as the...
Well, for the four of us, you're the furthest on that side of the spectrum.
It would be the London Bacon spectrum.
You're now officially defined as the North Pole of security here, and Brian's the opposite end.
No, but I'm curious. If you guys listening to the show have a thought one way or the other, hop into the forum or go over to our Reddit or wherever. Just let us know, because I'm curious. I would love to get that sort of information so that I can properly catalog all of you and use that information against you in the future.
But to Axe's point as well, be honest when you share this. It's completely okay to say, For example, I'm closer towards the Lunduk side of the spectrum, but I'm not very good at kind of maintaining.
You know what?
Those.
Here, let's break this down to a couple of questions. That way it's cut and dry, right? Question number one, do you cover your webcam on your laptop? I'm curious. Let's let people go answer this in the forum. Do you put tape or one of those little covers over the webcam on your laptop when you're not using it?
I'm actually curious.
I definitely do.
But I was going to say, I'm curious to get the answer from the four of us, because I actually don't know the answer for two of us.
I totally do.
I guess that.
Really? That's surprising.
Weird, right?
I do as well, actually.
Yeah. I have a little thing that I flick over.
Do you really?
I got it from HackerOne. It's actually fallen off right now. I need to get another one. But it's a little thing. It's like a little window, and you just, you know, when you need to, because I use my webcam a lot for video calls.
Yeah, me
and
too.
You just flick it over and it switches it off.
Okay. Stuart?
I like the fact that you've got a little slidey window thing, but it's fallen off and you haven't fixed it. This is like a microcosm of the security world, I think. I have a webcam. I have a webcam. It points at me the whole time, and I don't turn it off or do anything about it.
To be fair, you're super sexy, and I'm pretty sure that MI6 is going to be wanting to check that out. So that's really nice of you. Okay. Other thing is, one step further. Let's go one step further on this, and I'd love to know, both you guys and in the forums, microphones. On your devices, do you find ways to disable all microphones when not in use? I do. I make a point of it. And
I haven't got one.
No.
Because my machine's a desktop machine, and when I need to use the mic for something like this, I plug the mic in. There is one in the webcam, though, thinking about it, so no, I don't.
Yeah, there's one in the webcam.
It turns out, so I hadn't thought of that. Blast.
There may be one. Actually, and there's probably one in your machine as well.
I don't
because
think so.
One time,
there's
one time some you didn't desktops turn your, do have
one,
it.
One time you didn't turn your microphone on, and all I got was PC quality audio.
That is disturbing.
That was the one in the webcam, wasn't it? Maybe not. Maybe there is. So now, apparently, I just don't care about security at all. It turns out, which is terrible.
All right, Jono.
No, I don't. I mean the.
Okay, fair. Easy. No, I've got one more question after this, Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Okay. No. I try to unplug the ones that are unpluggable, but like the built-in one in my laptop, no, I don't do anything to disable it, no.
Okay. All of us have wireless routers, right? Or wired routers. Do you lock down all ports except for the ones that you know you're going to be using?
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Good.
Rubbish.
Jeremy?
You really don't, Eck?
Jono Bacon, you've locked down the ports on your router.
Yeah.
How did you do this?
Hey, John was surprising me right now. This is good stuff.
I went into the Linksys thing and switched it. I looked something up on the internet.
The newer ones just default to deny all, and then you have to open stuff. I wouldn't think defaults to allow all.
Bear with me, Brian. Are you talking about internally to people connected on the LAN or externally to people on the internet side?
Both.
Well, the internet side is all blocked off. I have explicitly opened a port which points to SSH on my internal server. And from there, I can stage to the rest of the network. But it does that for me. Everyone does that by default. There's no external ports open at all.
Okay.
Internally, it listens to 8080, if I remember rightly,
but
which is the admin
interface. But here's the thing. Here's the important part. And this is the part that I asked you and to our community. Is that something that's important enough to you to check out and verify? And and you guys said yes, and that I want to high five all of you guys for. And I'm curious if people in the community have thought about that and verified it. If they got their Comcast wireless router and they just plugged it in and sweet, everything streams fine, I rock and roll, or if they sit down and before they do anything start really sitting down and making sure it's all buttoned up nice and tight.
It'd be interesting to know how they did that. I mean, I can think of ways of doing it, right? You end map it from the command line or something, but this is not necessarily an option that's open to say my dad. So right.
Yep. I think most people would do exactly what Jono said. They, you know, load up like the Linksys web panel and check it out that way. And I think, and that may not be completely sufficient for you know, actually locking things down. And in fact, it really isn't. But it's a huge good step.
And I'll be honest with you, if it was anything other than non-trivial, I probably wouldn't have done it.
But the hardest hurdle to get over here is being aware that there's potentially a problem at all, right?
Right. Speaking of which, I bought this thing called the Luma, which is a new wireless router thing. They called it surround Wi-Fi, which sounds like bollocks, but I'm going to be setting that up and reviewing it. And apparently this makes it easier for securing your network.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see what they do.
Surround Wi-Fi?
Oh, come on.
It is everywhere around you.
I told you it sounded like bollocks. It's basically Wi-Fi with a bunch of repeaters.
It's 5.1 Dolby Wi-Fi. It's pretty tight. It's got those seat rumblers in it and everything. Well,
no, but I'm waiting for Wi-Fi THX. I think that's going to be a little bit better.
This is like having surround meatballs because you just bought a foot-long sub. Shut up.
Surround meatballs. Dude, I'm going to be honest. I kind of want surround meatballs right now.
It's lunchtime
and I want surround meatballs.
Who doesn't want surround meatballs, apart from, you know, vegetarians, but... All right.
They could surround tofu or something. It'd be fine.
I believe in the interest of making sure that we have listeners for next show, let's stop talking.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the entire episode of Bad Voltage. You're welcome.
You've been lovely. We've been Bad Voltage. Thank you and good night.